We Talk Podcast presents...
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
You got your rules in your... What it is? Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host, Joshua Adam William Irith Hunt, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joe Johnson.
How's it going?
Joe, we are on the road to Backlash.
Woo! We're on the road to Backlash.
We're on the road to see Jinder Mahal in a WWE Championship match.
So is Jinder Mahal a WWE Hall of Famer now? If he wins the title, is he a Hall of Famer?
I guess.
Woo! I mean, see, the birth of one of the greatest Hall of Fame careers ever.
I was listening to the talk as Jericho Pot with him. It's a guy that was like became like a drunk and had given up on himself 2 months before he got signed by WWE. And then TNA reached out to him, and then later in that day WWE reached out to him all on the same day.
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm. He seems like a really nice guy, but he's not good.
Nope. If AJ Styles cannot have a phenomenal match with you, you're in trouble.
His promos are shit too.
And Josh, who writes his promos?
Me, goddammit! Vince is a heavy... Well, I found it today too that 3MB was Vince McMahon's creation, if that's a shocker to anybody.
No. Aw, Vince.
Let's go talk about Raw quick before we get into SmackDown and the Backlash pay-per-view. So Braun Strowman is out kayfabe-wise 6 months, but really only 8 weeks. Thanks. Still on time not to have Braun on TV, but better than we originally had thought.
Yes, and I mean, when he will get a decent reaction. You do it in the right town, and suddenly they hear...
Braun!
No, it's going to be... I'm not finished with you yet. That'll be the pop that we'll all enjoy.
Yeah, for sure. So, Ron's out for a little bit. So, Raw had to shuffle a little bit. So, we have at Survivor Series. Wow, I really got Survivor Series on my mind today. At Extreme Rules, we have a handful of matches. And one of them is the 5-pack challenge to see who faces Brock Lesnar at the next pay-per-view. So, out of that, we have Finn Balor, Bray Wyatt, Seth Rollins, Samoa Joe, and Roman Reigns.
4 out of the 5 I want to see.
And we had a few matches before, and one of them was Finn and Roman, which Roman won clean. I know a lot of people are going to be angry about that, but, I mean, Roman needed to get his win back. And I think this is the situation of Finn losing now to win later.
Yeah. It's going to be either Finn or Seth. I'm calling it now.
I think it's going to be Finn at the next pay-per-view.
Well, strap a little rocket to Mr. Balor. By the way, I just got to say the 24 that they did was fantastic. And yeah. I think I can tolerate 10 years of Finn Balor.
I think I can tolerate it too. I think there'll be more than 10 years, but nonetheless, I'm excited.
You know, there's been a lot of criticism of him, of it not being a huge standout, or him having these amazing, amazing, amazing matches. I still think he's a solid hand, but I think he's a solid in-ring performer, but I think the one thing that Balor has going for him is his gimmick.
Totally.
So that's the one thing that I think will kind of help him continue to flourish.
I think he's really over with the crowd, too. Like, he just kind of has, like, he's just a genuine star. Like, you see it in some people that they're just genuine superstars, and he just has that feeling of just being a superstar. That's why I wasn't the hugest fan of him losing clean to Roman, but, like I said, Roman needed to get his win back. It's all, I think, going to work out in the long term, so I wasn't too unhappy about it in the long term of looking at the bigger picture.
Yeah. That's one thing you got to do. You got to look at the big picture.
So, also on Raw, we had Goldust turn heel.
Well, no more Golden Truth. That was I think they were 36-0 at one point.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They just kept winning matches.
And they win a lot of matches on the house shows, apparently.
And now it's a shame. I don't know what we're gonna do without Golden Truth in our lives, Josh.
Well, I mean, Dustin Reynolds, Goldust, is still, like, for his age, looks phenomenal. And is still a really good worker, so I'm happy for him. For Truth, I think maybe this is, after this little thing with Goldust, I think he may transition to an agent, or maybe finishing his career on the indies.
Yeah, I think either one of those are an option for him.
Just because I don't see what else you could really get from Goldie.
Well, you can probably get... I think Goldust would probably be an agent. I think he's going to be with the company for the rest of his life.
Goldust, yeah, for sure. R-Truth, not sure.
Yeah, we'll see.
The women, we have Bayley and Alexa Bliss. Look like they're going to be in a kendo stick on a pole match. Are we sure Vince Russo isn't back with the company?
It's not entirely confirmed yet, but we're waiting for Judy Bagwell on a pole. So that hasn't happened yet. It's close, though. That's the next month. That'll be the match at Great Balls of Fire. Judy Bagwell on a pole match. It's going to be
fantastic. Anytime you hear anything on a pole, you've got to assume that it's Judy Bagwell on a forklift, by the way.
Well, you know what? I'm allowed to get things mixed up. It's WCW. I didn't watch it live.
But anytime you see anything on a pole, you got to assume that Vince Russo is not too far away.
Bro, let's do this. Bro, let's book this. Bro, who cares about wrestling, bro?
Yeah, it's the guy that wanted a full show of just promos at one point.
It would be, you know, that's a challenge. Not a smart challenge, but a challenge nonetheless.
The Attitude Era in WCW at some points was really only promos anyways, because you had two-minute matches.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was close enough. What else from Raw? I guess Sasha's going on a losing streak to Alicia Fox.
But hey, we get to see no more Noam Dar, who worked with Balor in the ring when he's getting ready, so that was a nice little cool thing. So Raw was okay, but you know,
yeah, Raw was fine. It's better than last week. I mean, they were in a really hard position last week with trying to figure out what to do with Braun and reevaluate that as they head into Extreme Rules in the following pay-per-view from there.
Yeah, I feel for Braun. I hope he gets a speedy and quick recovery.
Me too. I would assume Seth and Joe are just going to be kind of doing their own thing. Well, see, it feels like Braun is missing something right now. I know they're missing Braun, but even with Braun, it feels like they're just missing one extra thing. Because you watch SmackDown, and it just seems everything's going off. Like, everybody really has a position. If they don't, they're not forcing them on TV. Like, right now, Ty Dillinger just isn't on TV, neither is American Alpha, because they just don't have anything for them. And it's just sometimes better to just leave them off TV than force them down their throat.
Exactly.
Like, you could have Ty on there and just have the Eating English program over and over again. But I prefer Ty just to sit this one off, and then maybe... I would assume Ty would probably be in Money in the Bank, I'm assuming.
Yeah, I think that'd be a nice spot to kind of keep him going.
Yeah. So, and I think, again, SmackDown has done a much better job with their women's division. I care much more about their women's division.
Yes, I agree.
Like, Mickey's been forgotten already.
Yeah, but it didn't take too long. Sad.
Like, where's Mickey James? Like, Alicia Fox is getting time, but not Mickey James?
You gotta pronounce it right, Josh. Just remember that.
I know. Alicia Fox. So, yeah, Raw was fine. It's weird seeing Kurt on there still.
It's gonna take a while getting used to.
I'm not as huge a fan as him as the GM, to be honest.
I'm waiting for them to book him into... I was waiting for him to say, you know what, Brock needs an opponent, and you know what, it's just going to be me.
I need to see an interaction with him and Steph. Just because they were really good back in the day together, I'd like to see some more interactions with him and Steph. I'm looking forward to when Steph finally comes back and we have the heel authority figure.
Yes.
I can't believe I'm actually saying I miss McMahon on TV right now, but I do think Stephanie added something to Raw that is missing.
I miss Daniel Bryan. I'm talking Smash.
Yes, I very much miss Daniel Bryan. And congratulations to him and Brie on Birdie Joe.
WrestleMania 50, baby.
Oh, yeah, 55, man.
Gonna be lights out.
It's Kurt Angle's daughter versus Daniel Bryan's daughter. We're finally gonna get Angle and Bryan.
Just not what we thought.
Just not what we thought. So, yeah, Raw, sitting up for Extreme Rules, rather nice. Seems like Sheamus and Cesaro aren't allowed to beat the Hardys at all, so that's a great build.
That 50-50 booking, my friend.
And so, yeah, we move on to SmackDown and the Backlash card. Do you want to go to NXT first, or do you want to do Backlash first?
Yeah, there's an NXT show. Whoops.
Or should, before we do that, should we talk about the big stuff from ROH over the week?
Well, let's do the ROH conversation.
Sure. So, no new champion as far as the heavyweight championship. We're going to get to the TV title in a second here, so. But Adam Cole, baby, he is no longer with the Bullet Club. The villain turned on him. And became the newest member of the Bullet Club as the Bucks super kicked him and Kenny Omega and then turned his back on him. It was a really good angle.
Well, and that's what you can do with YouTube. Ladies and gentlemen, booking an angle through YouTube and not using your own promotion that you're connected with to promote it.
It was best book angle this year.
That is how over the Bucks, Marty Scurll, Adam Cole, and Kenny Omega are. That whole group. You hear that they're in this series called Being the Elite, and it's an instant watch for wrestling fans, like hardcore wrestling fans. Not so much casuals, though I do think casuals may enjoy some aspects of it.
I mean, the Bucks are about to get stuff and Hot Topics, so we'll see how much they get over.
Is this going to kill Vince McMahon? Is this the death blow in Vince McMahon's just the Young Bucks getting over like this?
Well, according to Uncle Dave, he does not like stuff outside of the company getting over.
So, this is going to be what kills Vince McMahon.
It's not going to help, that's for sure.
Well, that and the reaction Roman gets is still going to be what pushes him over the edge.
Mm-hmm. So, Marty Scurll is now in the Bullet Club. Adam Cole looks like he is NXT bound.
Yeah.
At least that's the rumor. He does have an indie booking in June, but I mean, even Drew McIntyre, others have had indie bookings. The Hardys had indie bookings when they signed. So it's not uncommon right now for, I think even Joe had a few dates left with ROH when he signed with WWE, I believe.
Yeah, and I think that they just had, like, I guarantee you this Adam Cole thing was probably a few months in the works.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just become, we know where he's, we have a good feeling where he wants to go.
Yeah, he's kind of been vocal that he wanted to go down to NXT.
Yeah.
He was totally fine doing that. So, and NXT kind of needs him right now. NXT needs that next big superstar because they don't, like, with Nakamura leaving and Finn leaving, those were the big guys that kind of drew people into NXT, Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Joe. And Bobby Roode is really good. I really like Bobby Roode, but he doesn't push the needle as far as name recognition for touring.
Yeah. Like,
but an Adam Cole will for the indie marks that want to go to the NXT shows.
Yes. Oh, yes. But do you want to run through the TakeOver Chicago?
Sure. Let me just pull it up really quickly.
I've actually got it right in front of me.
All right, let's do it then.
I'm ahead of you. Ha ha.
I will admit, too, my NXT viewing has been up and down. It's been a lot of looking through YouTube.
Yeah.
But I still have an idea what's going on. A lot of big names up, not on this card either.
Well, let's go through it, and we'll see who's missing and who's on there. The first match is a singles match. It is Eric Young of Insanity taking on Roderick Strong, Mr. ROH, and now potentially Mr. NXT at some point.
Just had a kid. Had a kid a little bit ago.
You got to think Roddy goes over here.
Yeah, well, with what they did to build up Roddy with those vignettes on YouTube, which you haven't seen them, go check those out. Those were really good. Nice stepping stone to build Roddy. Eric Young, Sorry?
It's a shock that vignettes work and get guys over.
I know. Mm. I know. Who would have thought? is Eric Young going to the main roster ever, or is he just enhancement talent?
I think he's found a nice little niche in NXT, and I think he will eventually find his way to the main roster. But right now, I think he's just serving his purpose, and he's just kind of helping continue to draw people in some ways. I think Insanity is intriguing, so just let him keep doing his thing in NXT. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, I think they kind of like what they're doing with Sanity.
Yeah.
Ty Dillinger had the big win over him. That's why I'm kind of wondering if Eric Young will win. But I like how they built up not Eric Young particularly, but Roddy. And Roddy lost in the Raw contendership to Hideo. So I'm assuming that this will be the time for Roddy to shine, and eventually we could see him with the NXT title down the road, maybe facing Hideo, maybe facing Bobby.
Yeah, no, I definitely think this would be a nice building blocks for Roderick Strong. I'm going to pick Roddy, and we'll go from there.
What's next?
Our next match is a singles match for the WWE United Kingdom Championship. The champion Tyler Bates defend his title against the Bruiserweight Pete Dunne. And Josh, it's very simple. It's Bruiserweight time. I think it's time to pull the trigger on putting that title on Pete Dunne. They tour with the title. I think all three of these guys, between Tyler Bates, Pete Dunne, as well as Trent Seven, have all been excellent hands. They have tremendous talent in this UK brand that they are going to be building.
Which
up.
We should note, we were recording this late Wednesday. The UK show will be airing on
Friday.
Friday. So it'll probably be out as this podcast is out. You could watch that before or after and listen to the pod. Either or.
I think it's time. I love both these guys. I think both are tremendous talents. And I think, but I just would put the title on that heel because Pete Dunne has just got it down pat.
I don't disagree with you necessarily, but I do think Tyler Bate will retain the title here.
Well, it's going to be a long-standing feud, and these two are going to beat the crap out of each other constantly, so it's all good.
I think they might want to set the title change at one of their English shows.
Yeah, that would make sense as well, so.
Mm-hmm.
I will give you
either
that.
Way, I think this is going to be a really good match.
Yes, yes. I guess our next match, very rarely do we get these type of matches. A ladder match for the NXT Tag Team Champions. The Authors of Pain versus DIY. Too bad it's not a ladder match featuring the Revival in DIY.
Oh my god!
You can't always win.
No.
But
how far away is he from being healthy?
I think he's still a little ways away, but sooner than later.
It was only a few weeks though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you gotta think the Authors of Pain are going to retain here. Right?
Yeah. Man. So the question is, after this, because you and I kind of been looking at the show as like, is this show the next big transition period to call people up? Like with Bobby, Asuka, and DIY. Then I kind of look and I'm like, I don't know if any of them are coming anytime soon. The question is, like, where does DIY go after this? Is it time for the feud?
Maybe.
And then I'm like, who's next in line for the tag titles? Because I think TM61 is still, the one guy still hurts, right?
Yeah.
And Heavy Machinery is not really a tag team I'd really like to see against the Authors of Pain.
The tag team division needs to be padded out a little bit. I think there may be some ways to do that with some pulling up talent, but right now it needs a little bit more.
Isn't Patrick Young with the tag team partner, or is he just doing his own thing still?
It's kind of a Purple Rain gimmick. I think he's
a
tag team
so
partner,
bizarre.
But I'm not sure.
That's maybe my worst gimmick of the year so far, that the fact that they're still doing it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens.
There was vignettes for it, Joel.
Vignettes. Good times.
Mm-hmm. Man, this is a tough one. Yeah, I just don't see Authors of Pain losing.
No. They're climbing those ladders.
Although, you know what? I'm going to pick DIY because they don't have to get pinned.
Ah, that's smart.
moves. Mm-hmm. Right? They don't have to pin Authors of Pain, which works in their, on the side of DIY. So I will pick DIY to get their second tag title ring.
Yeah, they can tie the revival.
And then I think we maybe get a rematch from SummerSlam, and then Authors of Pain win again, win their titles back, and then maybe by that time TM61 will be back.
Yeah, and they may have been able to prop up some tag teams.
Yeah.
Our next match, Triple Threat, NXT Women's title, Asuka, Ruby Riott, Nikki Cross. Is it time to pull the trigger, or should they be waiting until Asuka loses on a one-on-one setting?
Well, I think this was supposed to be Ember Moon's chance, and I think that's who's going to take the title off of her. And with Ember getting hurt, that decreased quite a bit. So I think they're going to keep the title with Asuka for now. I think she pins Ruby, because I think they kind of like what they've got out of Nikki right now.
Oh.
Nikki's the only other option in this, I can see. And I have Asuka continuing her winning streak.
Yeah, no, I think you are probably spot on, my friend.
Because I think if you're going to beat her, you can't just have her... Because I was thinking of this, like, oh, you just have someone else get pinned. But I think you have to have her get pinned on her way to the main roster, if she is going to the main roster. And giving Ember that big win really helps, because, you know, that move is such a... They've done a good job of using that move that Ember has. And now you have a build-up that Asuka hurt her, and now when they face each other, I'm assuming that NXT Brooklyn, it'll be a big deal.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, Asuka retains.
Yeah, I'm on side with you there. And our final match, singles
match. So by the way, no Cassius Ohno, no Drew McIntyre, no Cien Almas.
I think we're going to find them all slipping their way onto the card.
I would see maybe Cien Almas and Drew McIntyre.
Yeah. Our main event, singles match, NXT Championship. The challenger, he's been injury prone. He was one of the top signings when you had Balor, when you had Owens, when you had Sammy. He was one of the guys that you thought, this is going to be someone that's going to go far. He was in the Andre the Giant battle.
He was the first one technically on the main roster.
Yeah. Yeah. And injuries have plagued him. Hideo Itami is back, and he is in Chicago with the GTS as his finisher. That's going to be interesting. And he is challenging the glorious one, Bobby Roode. Little Triple H. Who walks out NXT champion? Is it time to put the title on Hideo after all the delay, or does Bobby keep rolling as champion?
I think Hideo hits the GTS, but I think Bobby Roode wins. I think he's meant to face... I think that title's meant to be dropped to Adam Cole or Drew McIntyre.
I'm going to pick Hideo.
Okay.
It's... might as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I just gotta... You gotta think, is if Adam Cole comes in, is he a heel? And then what is Drew McIntyre? Is Drew McIntyre a heel as well? Both of them work better as heel.
Yeah.
So, and then you got to figure out what you're going to do with Cassius Ohno as well.
Yeah, things are something.
And Roddy, and there's the Roddy factor. I just think there's a slew of guys that could be babyface coming in that make more sense to go against Bobby.
Yeah.
You can always lose the title right away, too.
And that's my thinking as well. Maybe this is just a building block to getting Hideo on the main roster.
Exactly.
So, that is NXT TakeOver Chicago. The next show is NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. It'll be interesting to see what they present for that card, but it really depends on what happens in Chicago. I think the crowd's going to be a lot of fun.
Is Adam Cole coming out, or is Kyle O'Reilly coming out?
I think there's a better chance of Kyle O'Reilly than Adam Cole.
Yeah, but Adam Cole's the one that everyone's going to be waiting for.
Yes, but I'm lowering all expectations of Cole showing up.
Fair. His last show will be Friday, so in 2 days. At PWG. That'll be his farewell PWG on the Friday.
Yeah. See, if he was going to New Japan, they would not be doing this farewell tour. So he's definitely coming to the Fed. It's just a matter of when. And exactly. I guess now, fast forward to Sunday, SmackDown's first pay-per-view since the WrestleMania.
And the Superstar Shakeup.
Superstar Shakeup, so things are a little different. Let's run through this card. We've got our first dark match, the Perfect 10, Ty Dillinger versus the tortured artist known as Aiden English. does English get a win finally, or is Ty continue to be perfect?
I mean, it's a dark match. It'll be nice for the city of Chicago to see that. Ty is obviously a fan favorite. I like what they're doing with Aiden. Anytime anyone gets an opportunity, and, you know, not to sound cliche, but, you know, Shane keeps on saying that. That's what SmackDown is, the land of opportunity. And I think that this Aiden English character is at least something intriguing. But like we were saying earlier, Ty doesn't have a big presence on this card. I think he'll be part of the Money in the Bank match, and I think he wins this match.
Yeah, I do as well. So I think Ty, but you never know. WWE could pull the wool over our eyes, and Aiden English could be the winner. But I think Ty's winning streak continues, and I think we get up to the number 10 for a winning streak for him.
So, oh yeah, that's a good idea. This is a dark match, or this is pre-show?
Pre-show.
Okay.
And I guess we'll pre-show's done. The pyro's going off, and we don't know what the kickoff match will be, but let's start with what list we've got right now. And this is based a little bit off Talking Smack. We've got a guy who likes to pop balloons and can be very creepy, Eric Rowan, versus equally creepy but very athletic, Luke Harper, who
was
the win from the 4YY family.
That was an interesting statement the two of them had. Well, the three, I guess, if you count Shane in there. They had kind of that stalker angle with Renee about 2 years ago. And with Rowan, and it seems like they're going to go back to it. And I don't know, it seemed good enough that it worked. He's a very good promo.
Yeah,
he played that horror villain, that creepy guy, really well. He's no longer the Vintner anymore, I guess.
Yeah.
So I would he won the match on SmackDown, and he's got a little momentum behind him. So I'd have to say Luke Harper wins.
Yeah. Yep, that's how it goes. So Luke Harper's gonna pick up the W, but
yeah.
Eric Rowan's gonna need his calming mask.
So yes, he'll need the calming one. But I mean, it's a start. You don't know much about Luke Harper other than he has a new T-shirt. At least Rowan is building something now as a character.
Well, I think it's time to get Luke Harper on Talking Smack.
Yep, I would think so too. He's very good at talking to Jericho.
So just keep that ball rolling. Our next match. The underdog from the underground takes on a man that has three shirts and they're all wolves. Sami Zayn, Baron
three
Corbin.
Shirts, all wolves.
Who wins?
So they just like to make fun of Sami Zayn lately, apparently, with the weird Kurt Angle call thing they did. And yeah, I don't know what they're doing with Sami. We all wanted him to go to SmackDown because we thought things would be better from SmackDown. I don't know who hates Sami Zayn or why they do. But he's not winning this match. Baron Corbin is, because he lost clean to Randy Orton.
Yes, Corbin's getting the win. Poor Sammy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let him be neurotic in the back. That's.
I do think he has a chance to win Money in the Bank, although I would say right now the winner, I would probably say, is Corbin.
Yes, yes. But you never know. Stranger things have happened. I'm going to shuffle around this card.
Like our main event of this pay-per-view.
Yeah. I'm going to shuffle this card around a little bit. We're going to go to the women's match next. Naomi, Charlotte Flair, and Becky Lynch form a crackpot team to take on the Welcoming Committee. And the Welcoming Committee is a well-oiled machine. And their star person is James Ellsworth, but they consist of Natalia, Carmella, and Tamina. Does Charlotte Flair turn heel?
Well, I think she already is heel. But I think she turns on Naomi, yes.
Yes, I think that's where we're going with this. I think that the Welcoming Committee is going to get a win because of Charlotte Flair.
Yeah. I think, or even maybe Charlotte somehow causes Naomi to take the pin in some way or another. I don't think there'd be maybe interference or anything blatant, but there'd be something around that.
Yes. I would agree. Yeah.
Or they could win, and then Charlotte could just attack her after too. That's the thing. But I will say Homecoming, Welcoming Committee, whatever the hell they're called, win.
Yeah. And James Ellsworth gets to celebrate.
Yes, he does.
Our next match, and this match is big for internet fans, for New Japan fans, for anyone that's following this guy. The show off has a chance to have one of his top matches and become. Have a really, really good match that you know he can go out and have, but he's taking on, I'm not going to call him it, but he is the King of Strong Style. He is
the
a guy
artist.
He is a guy that debuted against Sami Zayn and had a phenomenal match. Shinsuke Nakamura has his debut match on the main roster. This has been a build, and we are waiting and waiting for seeing Shinsuke Nakamura. There is not a shadow and a doubt that Shinsuke is going to win this match, because that would be a misstep. And I think they
So Dolph is winning.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Dolph's winning.
I'm picking Shinsuke.
I'm picking Shinsuke, too. I'm telling you, though. Dolph is winning.
Oh, God. We're going to do the podcast next weekend. It's just going to be tears. Just pure tears.
Possibility to see Joel in person for the first time in 2 months, and that's all I'll be seeing.
We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. No promises. I hope Shinsuke has a tremendous match. I hope the Chicago crowd is well receptive of him. I hope this just propels him to superstardom.
That's the hope.
I generally like Shinsuke, and I hope nothing but the best for him.
I do think Shinsuke is going to win, but I would not be shocked if they had to all beat him.
Yes, because it's Vince McMahon, goddammit.
Yeah.
Our next match, this match holds a special place in our hearts, Josh. It is everyone that has dressed horribly. It is everyone that has committed a fashion crime. The Usos versus Breeze Dango. That team was a jobber team. That was a nothing team that had little to no TV time. Southpaw helped get them going. So Southpaw creates rest superstars. Let's get that out there right now. Southpaw is huge for wrestlers.
Unless you're the Good Brothers.
Yes. Then it doesn't work as well. But Breeze Dango, their segments are constantly must-see.
Take a bump from Nikki Bella, get a push.
Yeah, hey, that's all it takes.
Yeah.
I don't think Breeze Dango is going to win here. I think there's going to be some trickery and some tomfoolery. But I think that Breeze Dango's got a nice little roll, and keep rolling with it. Those backstage segments are hilarious.
It's Tyler Breeze's first big push in the main roster.
And he dressed up as a janitor. Yeah, he dressed up as a janitor.
You went too deep.
Yeah, and he doesn't want Cheerios, so.
I already ate.
I
do think the Uggos win this, but I think that these two can have a rematch of Money in the Bank.
Yes. And they'll be one day H.
Yeah.
What is, as someone, can you educate me on this one day ish?
Like one day, like I sounds like this is my day one shit, but ish, in rap records, when shit was swore edited out, it sounded like ish.
Oh.
So, yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. So, yeah. This match, the next match, we'll move forward from that. I've learned something new. The next match, and I think this is very important to say, we don't care about this match at all. We won't be watching. We won't be paying attention. This isn't something that you saw on the Independence that was quite entertaining. This isn't something you never thought you'd see on a big stage. It is Kevin Owens defending his United States Championship.
Did they ever face each other in the Indies?
Yes, they did.
Okay.
It is Kevin Owens versus AJ Styles. Holy crap.
WWE's first chance for a 5-star match.
It's going to be so much fun. Oh.
This is probably going to be the WWE match of the year so far. Although Nakamura and Dolph also have potential to be a really good match.
Yes, both. There are two matches on this card that can be very good, and you can never count out Sami Zayn.
No. I have Kevin Owens winning this match, though.
Yes, I
do. Not clean, by some devious manner, but I have Kevin Owens winning the match.
I would agree as well. KO wins the title.
The question is, will AJ be in Money in the Bank or not? I don't think so, but we'll see.
That'd be fun to have AJ walking around with that briefcase, I'm not going to lie. Just anything AJ does, I enjoy. So it's just fun to watch. This is going to be a lot of fun. I like both these guys, so it's going to be fun to follow this feud and progression, because it's two guys that I generally like and enjoy watching wrestling, and they're very good at what they do, both on the mic and in that ring. So this will be a lot of fun.
Yes, indeed.
So before we get to our next match, there was a little bit of a internet controversy, you could say. It involves diving.
Dive.
And it's not hockey's. It's not hockey diving. This doesn't involve Ryan Kessler at all, sadly. But it involves Randy Orton taking a bit of a shot at Bully Ray. Josh, lay it out. Be the news broadcaster that we know that you are and lay out what happened.
Well, it started out with a Riff Rogers tweet. I'm going to pull up the tweet right now, and then I will read it, and we will kind of go about what this story has been, because it has been one of the more bizarre stories that you and I have had the ability to cover since we've done this. Let me just give me a second here as I got to pull it up.
It's definitely, I want to say this, and it's quick little statement on this. To me, I get the one side of the point, but at the end of the day, everyone's going to wrestle differently, everyone's going to perform differently, and wrestling's going to appeal to different people in different ways. And if doing those suicide dives and super kick and being kind of let me read
what Rip Rogers said, the Randy stuff, and then we'll get into that. So, Rip Rogers tweet. Every indie match now, handshake, drawn out move exchange, this is awesome chance, strike, exchange, dive, no sell indie strong style, dive, more strikes, no sells, dive, flippity floppity sequence, dive, hit everyone with each other's finisher, then Humpty Dumpty, we all fall down. Fight forever chance, rinse and repeat until every move is useless and it means nothing, dive, take unsafe shot that looks like shit and hurts like hell, then roll it finish, handshake, hug after the match, everyone's hand raised, all these guys chant, go home and type on social media thanking your opponents and the company for the match and telling others they should book these guys, dive. So that was what Rip Rogers tweeted out, and Randy replied to it and just put dive. Then Bubba Ray put out a tweet of him diving. Put dive. Randy Orton replied, "Laugh out loud. There is no difference. There is a difference between young, hungry talent diving and an old, out of shape vet falling." Now, apparently, Randy and Bubba have had some beef in the past. They had apparently recently cleaned it up, but maybe not so much. Bubba did reply to him. I should hit on that really quick here. Depends how much Bubba has tweeted. He's tweeted quite a bit. I don't know if I'm going to be able to find the tweet on here. Give me a second. Bubba's tweet. Where is it? "Dear Randy Orton, my tweet had zero to do with you. Looks like you were wrong again. You're so awesome. Falling greater than House of Horrors." And Randy Orton posted a GIF of a fat man trying to jump into a pool and falling. Then Randy Orton replied his own statements at 3:39 in the morning. "Sorry to the indie marks, indie guys and old timers who do dives." Okay, sorry, I'll read it again. "Sorry to the indie marks, indie guys and old timers who dives took offense. Just having a good time after a few drinks in Denmark, closing the SmackDown Live tour while beating Raw in..." He was definitely drunk when he wrote this because it's not coherent. "Well, beating Raw in making over $5 million in the last 11 shows." By the way, Meltzer has confirmed that was even more than $5 million. "Now I know, to some that don't equate to standing room only crowd of 150 people paying $8 at an armory somewhere, but in the big boy world, that's called putting asses in seats. So enjoy your flips, dives, and 20 super kicks per match. To each their own. I will go dive back into my 13th title reign and ready to flip when my bank statement comes this month. ... Headlock."
So, how much alcohol involved in all of this?
Quite a bit. Shane Helms tweeted, "I'm working on a new spot, the diving headlock. It's going to piss off everyone."
Oh, God.
And then Fit Finley had a tweet earlier today. dive as he's diving onto Mark Henry. So I think some people are just having fun with it now.
Yeah.
But it kind of reminded me, Joel, of a big debate that we had last year after the Ricochet and Ospreay match.
And it's the best of the Super Juniors that have just happened. It's
just coincidentally, yes. I don't think Rip Rogers is wrong about his statement of what indie wrestling is. I don't think Randy Orton is wrong about what his statement of indie wrestler is. I don't think Will Ospreay or Ricochet are wrong to defend themselves. I thought Dave Meltzer brought up a really good point. People hated Ric Flair and Sting and Steamboat for the matches they had in the 1980s and thought they were changing wrestling forever.
Yeah.
So this is where we are. Some people kind of called the cruiserweights in the early 90s crazy for what they were doing, and they were ruining wrestling. There's always going to be a progression. In 20 years from now, Will Ospreay is going to be actually old, which is hard to believe. And he'll be criticizing some young guy for the way that he's wrestling and not appreciating it.
So he'll be like Vader and work himself into a match?
Maybe.
Well, Rip Rogers apparently was trying to... they were joking about working himself into a match with Ospreay.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, hey. Who knows?
Did Joey Ryan reply and just say crotch at all in any of this?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, man, that's like the perfect thing that Joey Ryan would have to... Joey Ryan should have replied with.
He's the levity of all independent pro wrestling.
Yeah. So I agree to a degree. Like my thing about indie wrestling that I've never been a fan of is you outdo some of the bigger matches, the bigger moves. But that's just a style, and a lot of people enjoy that style. So again, who am I to criticize it?
And to be honest, if we were at an independent show, you can't say you wouldn't pop for some of the stuff.
Oh, I'd be losing my shit. It'd be great.
So
watching it on TV sometimes it is what it is, but when you're there live, it changes everything.
So it's that thing, and I mean,
love that Randy knows his lane though and put headlock, because Randy Orton is the headlock master.
Yes, he is.
Cena was there for a bit, but then Cena kind of moved his variety up. I'm still looking forward to AJ Styles and Randy Orton one day. I still love Randy, but like I think it was a kind of get off my lawn kind of moment for him.
Yes, there'll be moments of it. But speaking of getting off the lawn, let's get to the final match for Backlash. Randy Orton will defend his WWE champion against a young Calgary upstart, Jinder Mahal and the Singh brothers. Do we hinder Jinder, or is Jinder the champ?
Jinder wins the match by disqualification.
I am going to have to agree with you on that, because they want Jinder to look strong. I don't know if they're going to pull the trigger just yet, but I mean, the biggest thing that stands out, if you can't have a phenomenal match with AJ Styles, there's something wrong, because AJ is like number two to Okada. Could Okada get a good match out of Jinder?
I don't know, man.
Could Tanahashi get a good match out of Jinder?
I don't know if anybody could. I would like to see him get strong styled.
Yeah, I was a little concerned for little AJ.
Don't put him in the ring with Hideo, for the love of God.
We'll never see Hideo again.
No, we almost didn't see Finn again.
It's been a nice little run for Jinder, but I think this
apparently is... like him and Finn, one of the ideas that really pushed him to the forefront was the physique was a big reason.
Yeah.
But also like he had some really good matches with Finn on the house shows, apparently.
They just didn't translate to TV.
No, they just didn't. Like he's just I would think like too, like you even like the Usos, it's a bad example because they're actually good in the ring, but like their promos are so good right now. Even if he was cutting a promo like that, like maybe like, oh yeah, at least he's getting a good promo. He hasn't even got a good promo. Yeah. So that's why it's super hard to get behind this guy.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to when Rusev returns. That's the one guy I'm waiting. Just chomping at
that,
the bit.
That could be who causes the interference. You know, you have a history with Jinder and Ruru. So there could be a little bit of stuff there. But Randy just won this title. This is his first title defense. And I don't think he's going to lose the title right away.
You mean the House of Horrors wasn't a title match?
Apparently not.
I'm shocked. Shocked, no. I tell you.
They defended that on Bring It to the Table.
I got
By the way, quickly,
I just want to give the whoever produced that opening segment talking to Table a big fuck you of putting a light on Mauro Ranallo and his mental health and thinking it's hilarious.
Yeah, they...
Did you see the segment or hear about the segment?
I just heard that they apologized.
No, this is what they did. So they did, "Hi, I'm Peter Rosenberg, and I said controversial things about Roman Reigns. Hi, I'm Corey Graves, and I said controversial things about something. And I'm JBL." And the camera just pans to him, and they all kind of snicker.
Oh,
yeah. Because that's the segment. There was that one of the segments in there was the one that affected Mark. It's not funny. It's not funny to make light of someone that had serious mental issues, especially someone that is talking to you about maybe trying to come back.
Because
it's his dream. Because the guy, you destroyed the man. You made fun of him. You bullied him. But the man loves this company, and it's been part of his dream for so long, he's willing to look past all this bullshit. And you, what do? You slap him in the face like that. Peter Rosenberg. Like, Corey, I'm going to say he's just unfortunately guilty by a situation. I'm not putting on Corey. Peter Rosenberg is the same guy that went on his podcast and defended the comments in the first place. So people were overreacting.
I'm just gonna sidestep this whole thing because
it's ridiculous though. Like, you know, it's
late. I could go on for hours about this.
It's unnecessary bullying.
It's what WWE is sadly becoming known for. This doesn't even surprise me that this happened.
On a day where the company looks really good for their concussion protocol with the Tom Brady stuff, they still look like bullshit with their behind the scenes and in front of the camera, childlike humor.
And that's very much what this company is built. That's what the Attitude was built upon, was childish humor.
Mm.
DX is very much was childish humor. So
yeah, that's but like just the poke fun of someone that has this.
That just shows how immature. Not immature would be the word. But just how much the company is strong in some areas, but is seriously lacking in others. And not only seriously lacking, but downright still stuck in like the 70s and 80s for a mindset.
Because mm-hmm. Mauro wasn't part of the boys' club. He didn't get it.
Yeah.
And that just really pisses me off. Because this is arguably the best announcer in combat sports today.
They don't see it like that because he's not...
And especially with Mike Goldberg on the sidelines right now.
I think it's a waste of what they've done tomorrow. I think they should be... There needs to be a change, but I don't think there will be.
By the way, Jim Ross is calling a match on the NXT show.
Ooh, which match?
That's another guy that's just been bullied. I believe the UK match.
Oh.
So that should be really good. And I know we're wrapping up here. I just want to send a big big shout out to Mo and who is his co-host again? Addy?
Yeah.
To them, I guess we have the unfortunate duty to let you know that We Talk Wrestling is taking a small journey into retirement. Kind of like what the laws of Bauer and Polycap. They'll put the bat signal up once in a while, maybe. But for the most part, for all your wrestling needs here now, We Talk, one fall is your place to go.
Well, I think what the way we got to look at this with the We Talk Wrestling is they have been on the road, they've taken the bumps, and now much like John Cena, Lesnar, they are now entering their part-timer phase. So
yeah.
We'll do jobs to them occasionally.
I'm not jobbing to Mo.
You're sorry, but this is just gonna happen. You're gonna have to eat that pinfall.
You're the one that's jobbing to Mo.
Sorry, I'm all the way. I'm not in the same province, so I can't eat a pinfall. You're right there. I'm sorry.
I'm not jobbing out. I'll walk out of the promotion. I swear.
I'm already walking.
I'm taking my ball and going home.
I'm already up the ramp, so you're on your own. So I'm sorry, but you're going to have to eat that pinfall. But
it's not happening. I'm taking my ball. I'm taking my ball. I'm going home, goddammit.
They are very much entering a Brock Lesnar-like schedule. Probably going to work more than Brock, but...
Yeah, I think. As long as we don't get in the strap, so they can just show up whenever they want with the strap.
You know what? They've earned the strap. Mo has earned the strap. I will say that here.
Wow. Complimentary of Mo.
Yep.
Mo will be back on our year-end review show. That'll still be the three of us. And, we look forward to continuing the legacy that they set with We Talk Podcast and trying to do the best job here. And for all you One Fall fans, schedule may differ at times, but Joel and I aren't going anywhere anytime soon.
We're still here. We're still kicking.
I know the schedule for some of the One Fall fans hasn't been as much as it used to be, but we're trying to, with new schedules out for the two of us, we're just trying to make it worth the best for both of us.
Yep.
So, Backlash, I think there's really three matches you and I are really looking forward to.
Yes, it's a little limited, but there's a little bit of lower expectations.
I think it's gonna be a good card. Yeah. I'm really excited. I even think Rowan and Harper could be fun.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Like, I was not excited at all for Payback. At all. Except for Roman and Braun. And this card I'm actually really looking forward to. And same with NXT. I think NXT should be really fun too.
Yes. Yes. I think
no Aleister Black in the card either, eh? Is he officially a 205 Live guy yet?
No.
Okay. NXT's getting a little stuffy in there, eh?
Yes.
So, okay, so there we go. Thanks everyone for tuning in. Until next time. That's where you say something, Joel.
Oh, yeah, I completely thought I was missing. All right, dive.
Okay, enjoy the new people.